T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Let's go now. You fire the first shot. Let's go, man.
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at The Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
Bears writer for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I don't really like doing the radio, man.
Yes.
I don't like doing sports radio like the typical. That's why I've wanted to be on your show, because your show is, what's the word for it? Interesting. Oh.
Co-host of the Halas Intrigue podcast. His takes will leave you speechless.
You guys are in here talking about your, the darkest subject I could have thought of. That's like my greatest fear in life.
For me, literally.
Jason Leisure with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love Jason Leisure here on this show. You can check out his work in the Sun-Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Leisure. You can also check him out on the Halas Intrigue podcast. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you can just go to alpamonteford.com. He is joining me on the Twitch stream today. He broke out a cap and everything. So if you want to take a look and see what we got going on, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Oh, that's right. Your birds aren't real, Cap. That conspiracy that you and Tony Gill both believe in. Hi, Jason.
I don't like you calling it a conspiracy. That's very disrespectful. And B, Lawrence, as I've always said, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
These are all very true.
I'm glad I coined that phrase.
That was your phrase? Okay, good. Then we will give you credit
in
for
relation
it.
to the government using birds as drones to spy on us. How are you doing, man? It's been a long, long time since we've done this. I've seen you a few times lately, but not on the radio.
Yeah, which is weird, because you came to the house. We did a backyard viewing of a White Sox game at my place with young Tony Gill. It was a lot of fun. I believe they lost that game, and we were all frustrated. Plus, the wind was blowing like 35 miles per hour, so keeping the screen up was very difficult for us.
I know, but it made me want to get one of whatever it is you have. Lawrence had some kind of projector that he set up in his backyard that he hooked up to like his iPad or something, and he had this portable screen. And like, of all the things you could buy right now, that anything that allows you to socialize outside, even this time of year in Chicago, is like a worthwhile investment to me. I'm going to buy one of those things. Like, have you seen the outdoor restaurants, the lamps they have, like the heaters they have? I mean, this is not like a profound thing, but it's not something I would have ever thought to buy for my house, but I'm definitely going to do that.
Yeah. Have you ventured out to eating outside? Like, I'm still uncomfortable with it, but are you and the wife going outside to go have a meal?
Very rarely. If I do go out to eat anywhere, it's outside, and there's a reason for it, though. It's only because I have this weird thing about me that I don't want to catch the coronavirus.
I don't think that that's a weird thing. I think that is the majority of people.
I'm a little quirky, Lawrence. I'm a little quirky.
that's the majority of people don't want to catch it. And it's a very, very...
Some part of me, and this may be hard for some people to understand, would prefer not to die in the pandemic.
I would prefer that you not die in the pandemic, too. That would make me very sad.
That's incredible, man. Thank you for saying that. That's very touching.
We boys, that's how it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to want you to die, and vice versa.
Okay, thanks a lot.
What was it like last night to cover that game?
Well, it was still kind of, for me, a little bit of that like just boring slog of a Bears game. But at least there was some drama. It was compelling to the very end in a way that the previous game, especially the Colts game, was not. And it was impressive to me in a way that the first three games absolutely were not. I know wins are nice and it's hard to beat anybody in the NFL, especially on the road, but I just was not, that didn't do anything for me. Those first three wins, just, you know, escaping or rallying to beat the Lions and the Giants and the Falcons. Tampa's good. Tampa's probably, in most people's opinions, better than the Bears. And the Bears beat them in a pretty good, pretty tight game yesterday. They did a lot of things that they didn't seem to have right about them the first 4 weeks looked better to me last night. Their defense looked a lot better, particularly. But Matt Nagy doesn't really feel that way.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of his press conference, and Grody was talking about it. They still struggle, and I know that you had written about it last week, where in the last 12 games, you're talking about 20 or fewer points in 12 of the last 21 games that they've played. So they definitely have an issue. They have an offensive problem. Did they think that that problem was going to be solved by just replacing the quarterback?
I hope not. And part of what confuses me is why they would think – why was this the tipping point for Matt Nagy? Because it's looked like this for a long time. And it looked like this. This offense looked like this as far as inability to run, failures and inconsistency at quarterback, and massive problems on third down. It looked like that at times during 2018, let alone all of last season. And now Matt Nagy, now finally, about a year after the rest of Chicago has had enough, Matt Nagy has had enough.
What have you thought of Foles in the two and a half games that you've seen him play?
Not good. Not good at all. Not a substantive improvement from Trubisky. It's been very confusing, but then again, so has Nick Foles' entire career. So it's not just the results of what he got in Atlanta versus what he did against the Colts and last night. It's the overall play and the accuracy of his throws. It's hard for me to grasp how you go from some of the throws he made in the Atlanta game, regardless of whether they won that game, to the way he threw in the Colts game and the way he threw last night. He comes out with the win. He would have come out with a pretty good passer rating had Allen Robinson not coughed up that interception, which is entirely not Nick Foles' fault. But man, Lawrence, that second to last possession the Bears had when they were losing, and I thought probably would end up being their last shot, he almost got picked off three times. And I mean, and there was, and the biggest thing, like the biggest thing I think the Bears thought would change going from Trubisky to Foles would be that Foles didn't miss these layups, as the old offensive coordinator Mark Helfrich called them. That means plays that Matt Nagy schemes beautifully and the receivers run beautifully and the guy's open and Mitch Trubisky would either miss him or the throw would be wildly inaccurate. And Nick Foles has been doing the same thing. That problem has not gone away with Nick Foles at quarterback.
What do you think from what you heard from Matt Nagy today is the thing that frustrates him the most?
Well, I think that he is frustrated with some of the receivers, and he shot this down when I asked him about it this week, but I suspect that it's Anthony Miller at the top of that list, as it has been for the last 2 years. And Matt Nagy and Mike Furry, his position coach, have made no secret about that. They've had no hesitation telling you publicly, Anthony Miller has not known the plays the last couple of years. And you've seen evidence of that already this year. You've seen plays where the ball goes to one spot and Anthony Miller goes to the other. And if I had to guess on some of those, I would have said it's Anthony Miller's fault. But I think that the bigger than that for Matt Nagy is the ongoing, and this is so fascinating to watch as a reporter. It's probably like excruciating for fans, but I am compelled by Matt Nagy's internal conflict about running the ball. He knows he needs to do it, yet he's allergic to it. And I think the frustration with the run game the last 2 weeks, not only that it's gone poorly, but that he knows that's a sensitive area for him, that that's a weak spot of his, is driving him crazy.
I can't get a read on the type of player that David Montgomery is, partially because of the problems with the run game. I don't think that the problems with the run game are his. I think that you've had the line of scrimmage be pushed back 2 yards over the last couple of weeks, and that's not on the running back. But I'm still
not quite...
Did you
say last couple of weeks or last couple of years?
Well, I mean, they started out running the ball well, but specifically the Colts game and this game against Tampa, so I guess technically the last week, you've seen that line of scrimmage get moved. So I can't be mad at him for not making a move 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage when he's thinking that there's a hole that he's going to, or cutback lane that he's going to, and then trying to hit it hard. But I'm still kind of stuck with, is he a dynamic offensive player? And I'm not sure what the answer is.
He probably is, Lawrence, but he's not the type that can overcome a shaky offensive line. And this is why people don't pay running backs, is because there's only ever like maybe 1, 2, 3 guys in the league at a time, or maybe one guy in a draft class that makes that kind of difference. Leonard Fournette was that kind of guy originally. There's very, very few guys that are good enough to run well behind a bad offensive line. And David Montgomery is probably not in that elite 2 or 3 guys. And I agree with you that there's not a lot he can do. And the Bears have not solved their offensive line problem. Things looked better the first couple of weeks. They were playing against bad teams. And now you're in a place where you not only do you have the same personnel that couldn't get it done, mostly the same personnel that couldn't get it done last year, but you just lost James Daniels. I mean, he's probably done for the year with the pectoral muscle. So now you're going to put Alex Barrs in there, who is an undrafted guy that didn't really play last year and didn't look great last night. That's a tough spot to be thrown into, so maybe he'll get a little bit better, but that was not a promising start for Alex Barrs.
Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times is joining me here on The Score as we talk about the Bears, them being 4-1. I'm someone who believes that winning buys you time. I don't know. I'm uncomfortable saying how good the Bears are because I just don't know. When I look at them, I see some flaws, and they've been able to rise above those flaws to win games, which is the most important thing. Like, it's the most important thing in the NFL is getting those wins. But I'm still kind of stuck going, is this team good enough that people are going to feel confident about them in any sort of playoff scenario?
Well, the most important thing is how many wins you have at the end. It's how many wins you have out of 16. So I don't really buy like the old Bill Parcells line of you are what your record is. You are what your record is at the end of the season, but you may not be what your record is at 3-0, for example. Each of the last two seasons with the Bears. They were 3-0 last year and ended up being 8-8. But the boy, I totally agree with you, though, about them having bought themselves time and a lot of margin. I mean, when you're 4-1 and you're going to Carolina next and 7 teams from the NFC get in the playoffs, you have bought yourself a lot of room for error. I mean, you pretty much can just beat the beatable teams from here out, and you're almost certainly going to get in the playoffs.
I was hoping that Robert Quinn would be a bigger factor defensively. Now, yesterday it didn't matter that much because Pagano did a great job of bringing pressure. You had Khalil Mack doing all sorts of crazy stuff out there. And I know that it's kind of a throwaway line, but you literally could call holding against him on every snap because he's that good and that dominant of a player. But I was expecting more from Robert Quinn. Are people at the Bears surprised that they're not getting a level of get the quarterback on the ground production from him?
I actually think he got it last night. I think with the Bears, I think they got that from him because I think he cleared the way for Mack. He drew some of the attention off of Mack that Leonard Floyd certainly was not last year. And that was the whole plan. That was the whole blueprint for the Bears, like it or not, was to put 1/4 of their payroll into Mack, Hicks, and Quinn. I mean, they paid Quinn more than anyone except, I forget who the guy is, only one free agent got more money this offseason than Robert Quinn. And the idea is not necessarily that Quinn needs to have 10 sacks, it's that collectively the Bears need to be near the top of the league in sacks. And they had that level of pass rush last night. And not surprisingly to me, at least, Quinn played more last night than he played in any of the previous three games.
With everything that's going on around the league, now there's a story that the Cardinals are going to New Jersey. They don't know if they're going to play. There's stuff going on with COVID at the Jets facility. I think a lot of people were worried about whether or not the NFL was going to be able to complete their season. I'm starting to worry that the teams and the league and the Players Association are not even on the same page with some of this stuff.
Well, you just had in Tennessee, you had they've been shut down for how long and they keep having positives. And then you come to find out, oh, they held their own little practice like at a local high school, which entirely defeats the purpose of everything and is probably less safe than them holding that same practice at their facility with a bunch of medical professionals and people whose job it is to make sure they follow the social distancing protocols. I've said from the beginning, if you want to have sports during this, you have to accept that it's going to be imperfect. And that goes for every sport. That goes for baseball having a 60-game season. And it goes for football knowing that maybe not every team's going to play 16 games this year. Maybe if you're sitting there and it looks like maybe you're going to get 13 or 14 in and it doesn't really affect the playoff spot, maybe they just kind of seed the teams by winning percentage or something like that. Or maybe they have to add a week at the end of the regular season for makeup games. But don't you think it's probable that somebody is – at least one team is – not, well, I guess it'd have to be two teams, right? At least two teams are not going to play 16 games this year.
Yeah, I think it's probable, which makes me incredulous to the idea that the Super Bowl is going to be held when the NFL says it's going to be held. And I wish that they would have allowed for at some point them going, well, we might need to move it back. And I don't even think that it's a bad idea for them to say, we're going to move it back to the first week in March. So that we do have those extra weeks in case we need them to get some of these games done, to get teams closer to playing a 16-game schedule. Because if the Titans right now look like a team that maybe will play 12 or 13 games.
Yeah, and you had that in baseball. I don't know how many the Cardinals ended up playing or the Marlins, but I know they didn't make up every one of those games. I think that I agree with you. We are learning the NFL's plan now over the last couple of weeks for when these things happen. Nothing leaked out in the offseason through any of the guys that stuff always leaks out through the media. And it has made me wonder all along, do they have no plan? Are they just going to charge ahead and figure this out on the go? Or are they keeping it that secretive in a league where really they don't ever keep everything that secretive? Everything comes out one way or another. And now you're seeing maybe games get moved to Mondays, maybe games get moved to Tuesdays. They've already floated the possibility of adding a week, week 18 for makeup games. And the question I've wanted to know all along that you hinted at is, can you just reschedule the Super Bowl? In the past, like normal Super Bowls where you're going to have fans and media and corporate sponsors and need so many hotels, that's not something you could just push back a week. Now, maybe if they think they're not going to have anyone there, like no fans or very, very limited fans and far less than the normal crowd and normal like influx into the population that they would normally have. And this coming year, it's in Tampa. It's in Florida. So, you know, who knows? All rules are off in Florida, as usual. I don't know if they can just say, hey, let's have the Super Bowl and push everything in the playoffs back 2 weeks to allot for a couple of makeup weeks. We have no idea what the NFL is thinking or if they're even thinking anything. It's very possible they're just figuring this out on the fly.
Well, my whole thing is don't wait until January to be like, we're going to move the Super Bowl back. Like, you could just do it now, and you can work on the planning of it. And let's say that you get everyone kind of back to speed, and we have 16-game seasons. Like, all right, that's fine. You know what you could do with that extra time? You could institute a playoff bubble if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You could do all of these things to make it so that your championship gets played, and it does feel like the NFL is just like, we're hopeful. Like, it feels like their plan is hope instead of
we're
an actual
than
plan.
Science. Yes. Imagine this, Lawrence. Like, picture if this happens with the Super Bowl. It's one thing to move, like, a Titans-Bills game back a couple of days. But imagine, like, the week of the Super Bowl. They're like, hey, Super Bowl is going to be on Tuesday night now. See you guys later. What? Wait, hold on. Say that again?
Super Bowl Tuesday just doesn't have
Mahomes is out.
Right.
Like they had with Cam Newton just a couple weeks ago.
Right. Like that would be horrible for the NFL. I appreciate your time as per usual. Thank you so much. I'm glad that we got to do the Zoom thing and have you on the Twitch stream because it felt a little closer to you being in the studio. I know that you are,
yes.
That's your thing, and you want to make sure that we keep that type of continuity. But I thought this was as close as we could probably make it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And nobody caught the virus during this. We know that for sure, so that's great.
We know that for sure. Have an excellent long weekend, sir.
You too, my friend.
That is Jason Leisure. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's really terrific, and I hope you get him because it takes a little bit to get him, but once you get him, he drops gems on you. I'm telling you. Check him out with the Hallis Intrigue podcast that the Sun-Times does with him and Patrick Finley and Mark Potash. It's really, really great, and Potsy is the star of that thing, the reluctant star of that podcast, but he's really terrific on that. We're going to take a break. I want to get back to you. I want to know how you feel about the Bears, whether you want to text in or call. 312-644-6767 is the number. We'll talk about the Bears being 4-1. Does it feel like they're a 4-1 team? We'll discuss next here on The Score. Some people have responded via text. Some people have done it inside the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. If you are on Twitch, the question that I asked was, how does this feel, D'Angelo? Does it feel like this is a 4-1 team? I like that Matt Nagy was kind of mad at his team, because if you're going to be mad, this is the perfect time to do it. If he's upset with there being a lack of attention to detail, as he said in his press conference, this is the time to take advantage of that when you're winning, when despite the lack of detail, you can say to your team, we need to do better. Now, there's a couple ways that that can go, and it'll matter for the strength of his head coaching ability. One way is that players get the message and they go, man, we've been lucky. We've been lucky that we've been able to pull off these wins and we're not giving 100%. We're not doing our best. We're not detail-oriented enough to consistently win games. We're not doing our best thing.
There's a part of us right now where we know we can be so much better, but when you think about that, we can be a lot better, but we're 4-1. So that's a good feeling. And so that's what I'm proud about with our team and our players and coaches. And now we get a little bit of a mini buy to be able to say, okay, where are we right now? And where can we get better? And what can we do so that we can keep this momentum going and then really, really start peaking at the right time?
That's the hope. The other way that the team could take it, and I doubt that they will, but it's a possibility. And maybe there are individuals who will feel this way, but it'll be a test of leadership for the Bears. The other way that it can go is, man, look at what we did. We're good. We are what our record is. We're 4-1. No big deal. We don't have to change anything. I'm doing all the right things. I'm giving as much as I can give. Sometimes you need a little bit of a nudge. I mean, it happens in every industry. I know that it happens with me, where I'm like, I'm giving all I got. It's all I got. And you're getting it every day from noon to two. It's all I got. And you're like, oh, I actually could do a little bit more. And it's not even necessarily effort. It's just opening your mind up to the idea of are you giving the best version of yourself time in and time out? And if you do that enough on the football field, you're going to win. And I think that they have been lucky in them being 4-1. It could have easily turned in a multitude of ways, but the beauty of winning is that it buys you time. They get to do extra film sessions and go, hey, you were supposed to cut at 5 yards and you did it at 6.5. And there's a specific reason why it's at 5 yards. You need to be where the quarterback expects you to be. This was the snap count. You're not listening. You're not paying attention to what the snap count is. Your level of concentration needs to be higher. All of those things. We'll see how the Bears handle this. And Matt Nagy has been a great coach as far as locker room unity goes. There were times that this team could have splintered. It could have been the offense versus the defense. It could have been the defense being like, hey, are you guys going to help us or no? And it hasn't been that. And that is one of the strengths of Nagy as a head coach. The next part for the players is, all right, I've told you privately. Okay, I've told you publicly. The next part is for the players that still don't get the message to cut their playing time. That's the other thing that you have at your disposal. How willing Matt Nagy is going to be in doing that is going to be interesting to watch. 312-644-6767. Aaron is out driving around. Hey, Aaron, you're on the score.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's awesome, man. I never liked Matt Nagy. So when I heard him go off today, I laughed. Because to me, I didn't hear what everybody else is hearing. I'm hearing a guy that's running out of excuses. I'm hearing a guy that can't blame it on Mitch anymore. I'm hearing a guy that can't blame it on the old coaches because you fired them all. The problem has always been Matt Nagy. He doesn't call the right plays in the flow of the game. He's the play caller. Case in point, what happened last night? You sped the game up, everything's good, but Matt Nagy, no, he's got to go in the back of his head and pull out this beautiful play, and he messes up the whole rhythm of the game, and then what happens? They get popped, they get sacked 17-yard long. That's on Matt Nagy. Go back to even the Detroit game at the end of the first half where he calls 3 stupid plays in a row and puts the Bears defense in a bad field. Bad field position, bad plays, and they end up giving a touchdown. Matt Nagy is a man who got a coaching job 10 years early because he only, let's be honest, he only called offensive plays in Kansas City for 4 games. He scripted them for more than that, but he only called for 4 games. The man does not deserve to be a head coach anywhere right now. He's not. He's lucky he's winning. God love the Chicago Bears. They're winning. I love them. And, yes, they're 4-1. But let's be honest, Chicago, they're not a 4-1 team. They're lucky because they're the best of the bottom feeders, and they have a weak schedule when they're taking advantage of it, just like that 12-4 season. I hang up. You guys have a nice day. But I'm laughing at Matt Nagy because he sucks, and I'm glad you guys are seeing it now.
Rack him. I don't think that Matt Nagy sucks. I will agree with you, though, on play calling. And let me give you a specific moment in time where I'm like, what you doing, fam? Here's my issue. I can go back into the actual game itself. My issue was you had an end to the first half that was really strong. You got some help from your defense. They were able to put you in that position. But you had a end of the first half that was really strong. And then what happens? First and 10 from the 31. Shotgun. Sideways pass to David Montgomery. No gain. Second and 10 from the 31. Shotgun. Foles. Sideways pass to Allen Robinson. No gain. Plus, there's a holding penalty on the play. Second and 20. Shotgun. Short pass to Allen Robinson for 3 yards. Sideways horizontal stuff. Third and 17. Foles, short pass over the middle to Anthony Miller. He gets 9 yards, and you're forced to punt. If you wanted to sum up why Matt Nagy, why people have questions about his ability to call games in the moment, like the caller said, that sequence of downs is the example that you would hold up. And you would go, what is this? Why, after having some success vertically, are you now going horizontally? You can't have that. Like, it's just, it was upsetting. Like, it was the thing, not even the penalties, not the lack of offense in the first 20 minutes of the game. It was that sequence of downs that had me like, wow. Really? This is what, after you had your 12 minutes to dissect what happened in the first half, and trust me, I know that the concept of halftime adjustments is overblown. Usually it's really just guys getting some orange slices, getting a banana, drinking a Gatorade, using the bathroom, getting themselves back on the field. But to come out with that play call at the beginning of the third quarter, I thought showed a lack of imagination. And it's something that we have seen over and over again from Matt Nagy. And I get why any Bears fan would be concerned and think that the Bears being 4-1 doesn't feel like 4-1 because of stuff like that. We need to take a timeout. I'll hit you up inside the Twitch feed if you want. You can also hit me up in the Tech Zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online. RosenHyundai.com. We'll take a break, and I'll put a bow on my thoughts on this Bears win next here on The Score. The process for the Bears to win last night's game may not have been satisfying, but the result was completely satisfying, especially when you add in old, confused Tom Brady at the end of that game. What's really good about it from the Bears' point of view is it's a learning opportunity for all of the guys, even though they were able to win a game. That doesn't mean that there isn't a lot for even the coaching staff to learn, and I hope that they take this opportunity over this weekend while they're getting ready for the next challenge, which is next week against the Carolina Panthers, who you would expect the Bears would be favored even in a game that's on the road, even though that means a different thing now. After that, the schedule gets a little rougher for the Bears, and none of us know what's going to happen with them in that game against Tennessee. But I hope that the guys use it to heal up. The great thing about winning on Thursday night, especially when you had lost on Sunday, like, that bounce back feels terrific. When you're able to just kind of shut it down for the weekend and reset. Don't go anywhere, Bears. Like, don't just go home and hang out with your family and then come back to the facility on Monday. Don't go anywhere. Don't put yourself in any bad positions. But it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks to see if they can actually make the improvements that they want to make, especially on offense. And now that Nick Foles has a couple more days to even work through some of this stuff and figure out the things that he wants to do and what he wants Matt Nagy to do in certain situations. I loved him challenging the head coach, and I hope that that continues as they build their relationship. I'll talk with Parkins and Heron next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.